KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. I'm Eddie Hughes, along with my producer, Kevin Kirsten. Our co-host, Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, couldn't be here this week, but he will be joining us next week, so make sure to tune in for that. It's opening week for Fresno State football fall camp, and Coach Tim DeRuiter held his preseason press conference to address many of the questions surrounding this year's team. We're going to bring you that audio in just a few moments, but first let's talk about expectations for the Dogs this year. The team was picked by the media to finish fourth in the West Division of the Mountain West, behind San Diego State, Nevada, and San Jose State, all teams who beat the Bulldogs last season. Kevin, do you think fourth is about right, or is that underestimating what the team can do this year?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell because we haven't seen the team fully assembled last year, and we had the injury problems that we had and everything, but it's kind of early to see because we only had the spring practice to go by, but I think it's going to be wrong. I mean, we have a lot of potential with Chase and Virgil and Aaron Peck's return. I think they're going to be a little off on that ranking. I think we're going to finish a little higher than that.
Obviously, the quarterback situation will have to be settled early on in fall camp. Tim DeRuiter talked a lot about that in his press conference, addressed a lot of those questions, you know, about the timing of that announcement, when they're going to choose that quarterback and kind of go with that one guy. You know, since Derek Carr left 2 years ago, we've seen a little bit of back and forth quarterback carousel the past 2 years, and it's kind of been, you know, a game time decision each season as to which guy they're going with. This year, it looks like all signs are pointing to freshman Chase and Virgil getting that first shot at the job. He'll have some other guys competing with him, but looks like he's leading that race right now. More importantly, though, for this team, might be an area fans don't notice quite as much, and that's the line play, both offensive and defensive lines. Both of them are a bit unproven, underperformed a little bit last year. So it'll be interesting to see how those units come together, if some of the younger guys can step up and show that they've been developing in the program and if they've become strong options there.
Yeah, do you think there's pressure on the team just in general because of the finish that they had last year? You think there's pressure? The players are thinking of it. Chasen's thinking of it. If he gets the starting position, we have to perform this year because the Red Wave and fans are always going to be supportive, but they also don't want to have a repeat season like they had last year.
I'm sure there's certainly that underlying pressure, but I think, you know, the best case scenario is your players take it as motivation. You know, they get motivated by the fact that they didn't live up to the hype last year, that this season people are expecting a lot lower of them. So, you know, if you can kind of catch people off guard, kind of come out, chip on your shoulder, prove yourselves again, and get the program back to where we've seen it for the past several decades now, I think that's the best case scenario for everyone. You know, we've seen the new marketing campaign. You may be seeing the TV commercials, the radio commercials on just the ticket to build our community. And I think that's a great message to that community pride that Fresno State football brings to the area. You know, a lot of people, you travel around the country wearing Fresno State gear. You'll hear people from the East Coast to Hawaii like, hey, Fresno State Bulldog football, the green V. They know all those symbols because of the brand that's been created. And you need to keep that brand strong. And I think that's got to be priority number one for the program right now.
It's always important. I said in earlier shows that if we don't have a crowd out at the stadium, I think that's going to play into the minds of players mentally. I don't know. If I was on a team and I had a half full stadium, or I didn't have so many people showing up to the games, the home field advantage is something that is incomparable. You can't underestimate the power of having the fans in the seats and cheering on the team no matter what their performance was. A lot of coaches we were talking to, they were saying, last year is last year. We're not going to keep talking about last year. It's already the new season. We know everyone's fresh. We got players returning back that we know are going to make an impact. We can't keep living in the past. So I'm excited to see the future and to see this year and to see the performances that are on the field this year at Bulldog Stadium. I think it's important that we move on.
That crowd really is a huge factor. I mean, you talk about a Bulldog football program that over the years has won an overwhelming majority of their home games. This year, six games at home. There's no reason they shouldn't be competitive in each and every one, able to win, you know, most of those games, if not all of them. And if you do that, you should be in for a pretty good season. So I think, you know, the fans, they need to come out, even though last season may have hurt expectations a little bit. But the fans need to continue to come out, because the more they come out, the more they buy tickets. They're only helping the school and they're only helping the program to bounce back even faster. And I think that's the bottom line. And, you know, and the community around here usually rallies around the Bulldogs, especially when they're winning football games. So it'll be great to get back out there and kind of get back to that community pride and community unity that we're so used to around here.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be there.
Back to on the field, on the defensive line. You know, we talked about the importance of that defensive line. I think one guy to keep an eye on is a newcomer out of the junior college ranks, nose guard Malik Forrester. He's a big guy, over 300 pounds, kind of that size you want on the inside, stuffing the run and drawing double teams. But his presence allows defensive end Nathan Madsen to move back to the outside to his natural position. That should be a really big thing for that defensive line. I know last year the defensive line did not create a lot of pressure. It made it tougher on the secondary. You know, the more your front seven can get pressure on the quarterback and force him into quick decisions, the more opportunity that creates on the back end for those defensive backs to make plays and, you know, maybe cause an errant throw or two, maybe get some sacks. A lot of stuff can happen when you're putting pressure on, and I think up front that unit will be relied upon a lot to sort of create that havoc.
Yeah, because everyone knows that if you have someone stuffing the middle, then they have to bounce it outside. Then that gives your defensive backs more time to get onto the runner, and the more he has to run, the easier it is to take him down. You know, the more he has to go side to side instead of going straight ahead, then the better off it is for the defense and the defensive backs for sure.
And then on the other side of that token, on the other side of the line, the offensive line, it's always kind of set the tone. You set the tone up front, it makes your offense go. It doesn't get all the flash and hype that, you know, the wide receivers and running backs and quarterbacks get. But those are the guys that are really creating the space for everyone else to work. And, you know, right now, Fresno State, they've got a young offensive line, a lot of unproven guys. You know, they're probably led by a sophomore, Aaron Mitchell, who had a nice freshman season last year. They've got some walk-ons and former walk-ons thrust into important roles, and they're still shaking out the depth chart there. But that's a unit that they really need to come back, establish a mentality, that traditional Bulldog football toughness and physicality. And I think it'll be interesting to keep an eye on them, too, with the new offensive line coach, Mark Weber, who was here previously in the mid-2000s and now has returned to the Bulldogs after coaching at Utah State last year. But it'll be interesting to see if Mark Weber can bring that mentality back to this offensive line where they're going to impose their will on you and they're going to let you know about it. And that's one thing I'm going to watch.
Yeah, it's important to establish that as fast as possible, especially with Chasen, if he ends up being the starting quarterback, which you said it looks like he will be. If he is back there, we all know he can run, but you also know that a quarterback has to go through his progressions. He can't have to run as soon as the ball snaps, so it's important for that offensive line to hold up their end of the bargain as soon as they possibly can, get all on the same page, because you don't want him not going through his progressions, doing things unnaturally, running as soon as he gets the ball, because then nothing's going to happen to the offense. You're not going to be able to use any of your weapons out on the field if you don't have time to get to him.
Yeah, I think you know, especially with the younger quarterbacks, if it's Virgil, if it's another one of the younger guys, it's just so important that the offensive line protect that guy, make him feel comfortable back there, help the game slow down for him a little bit.
You
so
don't want him to be
rushing.
You don't want him to be running for his life as soon as he gets the ball. Nothing will happen if he can't do what he's supposed to do as a quarterback. If he can't drop back, he can't take the necessary steps to drop back, set his feet, scan the field. Like I said, go through his progressions. Nothing's going to work. The offense won't work if they all don't work as a collective, and the offensive line is the anchor of it.
A lot of fun things to watch. We've got fall camp starting this week. The first week or so, 10 days, are open to quarterback club members. So if you're interested in going to check out practice, join the quarterback club. You can go out there. The first scrimmage is open to the public, and that is on Saturday, August 13th from 8:15 to 10:35 a.m. So that'll be a great chance to get a preview of the 2016 Dogs. And with that said, we take you now to head coach Tim DeRuiter and his thoughts on the 2016 football season.
Coach DeRuiter, pretty exciting day.
I got about 5:30 this morning and didn't even have to wait for the alarm to go off. Yeah, it's a really exciting day. We're fired up to get the 26th season started off. Really, you know, happy and pleased with our 13 seniors. I thought we got great leadership this summer. Ever since they came back in January, they've had a chip on their shoulder and they're ready to get forward and competing for a championship again. You know, we were talking as a staff, particularly the guys that were here, you know, 4 years ago. This season feels a lot like 4 years ago. You know, we're coming off a disappointing 9-loss season like 4 years ago. Nobody gave us much of a chance. Young team, new coaches, new schemes. And our guys went out and believed in what we did. We fought for a championship. And I think we're talented enough that we can do that. You got to get fortunate with the injuries, and hopefully the health of our team stays, intact. But I believe that we've got a very talented young group of guys that are all in and really willing to go out there and lay it on the line. And we have some guys that played a little bit too early a year ago, got some experience. And so even though we're maybe young year-wise, we've got some guys that have played. So we're excited about that. Clearly, what we've got to do is build some confidence in our group. We've got to establish who our quarterback, who our leader is going to be on offense. We've got to establish that two deep. And really, you're looking at your starters and then one or two guys in backup, key backup roles that can, fit in and compete at that same level. You do that through the first couple of weeks of camp. You identify who those leaders are, and then you start, honing it down to getting ready for a game plan against a, great Nebraska team. And that'll be a heck of a test for us. They're anticipating having a great year this year. You got to go into one of those storied, locations in college football, going to Lincoln. They'll have 90,000 plus, another sellout screaming for them. And it'll be a great environment for our kids and a great chance to go compete against the best. Our message to our guys is this year is going to be about fighting back. We got knocked down a peg last year. It's time to fight back. And when you're young and inexperienced and you have the adversity like we had last year, sometimes you don't handle it well. And as the head coach, I didn't do a particularly good job of handling. We're changing that. And I think our kids have come back with a chip on their shoulder. They're excited about the direction that we're moving. And I think that with the staff changes, particularly our new coaches have done a terrific job forging some relationships where the kids believe in what we're doing and can't wait to go to practice.
Tim, why are you guys going all morning practice this year?
We've gone in the mornings every spring since we've been here, and I like doing that. It gets our guys up in the morning. They say college students are most productive first thing in the morning. We wanted to get them here, get their day started right, get the blood going, have our practice, get our meetings in, and then have them take classes in the afternoon. More and more colleges are doing that. As I mentioned, we did it in the spring and we really liked it. The issue in the fall is your weekly calendar or schedule goes up a few hours because normally you've got that extra time on Monday to prepare for a Monday afternoon, 4 o'clock practice. We're switching some things up. We're now going to give our players Monday off. We'll bring them back on Sunday after games, review our game film. We'll get a lift, kind of take care of Saturday on Sunday and Sunday afternoon and evening. Monday will be their day off, and then we'll start on Tuesday, our normal Tuesday practice, Tuesday morning. Each year, you tweak things a little bit. Obviously, I think people will notice our offense will be different, with the multiple personnel groupings being used more so, a little bit more of a commitment to the running game. Structurally, our special teams will change. We have a true special teams coordinator who will be in charge of all four phases now in Dave Unger. He's a guy that's done it in Alabama, in the Pac-12, at Cal, Washington State, Oregon State, most recently at Utah State. He's been a Frank Broyles Award nominee, for a few years. I mean, he does a terrific job. I think, people will notice that. Going in the morning part, the reasoning for doing it, not just because other people are doing it, I think it makes sense. I wanted our guys to have that sense that things are changing, that, last year wasn't acceptable and we're moving forward and we're going to, put the best product out there. And, you can't get comfortable, we're going to change things on you. Myself and how I do things, I think the last couple of years I've been a little bit more hands-off, particularly on defense, and I'm going to be a little bit more involved there. We're not going to change schematically a lot of what we do. We're going to fine-tune some things, probably simplify some things. I think, in our spring was really good. Our players played very fast because there wasn't a lot of thinking. And if we can do that and pin our ears back and play and get back to where we can pressure quarterbacks with some blitzes, we can get back to that 30-plus takeaway goal that we want to have every year. One of our primary goals coming out of fall camp is to establish who's going to be our punter. Blake Cuse is going to have a chance. We think he's got a big-time leg, but he hadn't done it yet. And so we're going to put him under the gun some and have him have a chance to compete and earn that job. And that's what you got to have is, even though the guy hadn't been there, put him in some stressful situations where he can hopefully have success and build on that so that on game day it becomes natural for him. Our deep snapper, not having Dylan here for the last couple of years, has been one of those things you sleep well at night not worrying about it. I know Justin Varell is going to work his tail off. We're going to bring some guys in to compete with him and find out those guys. And I don't want to say least, but of those three worries, I think kicker-wise, Jimmy Camacho's strength is coming back to where we knew it was. He had some health issues a year ago that he's fortunately been able to overcome it. Cody's been a guy who's been really dependable for us, you know, from 40 yards in, and started to, you know, get some more strength in his leg. So having those guys compete, both of them have kicked in games, I think it's going to be a good competition to find out, you know, this fall who's going to be those guys. But when you look at the teams in general, not necessarily the specialists, but, you know, your return game, I think Damari did a terrific job for us a year ago. I anticipate him to be one of the best return guys, particularly in kickoff, in our conference. We're going to have to find out who's going to be our punt returner. But I think we've got some guys that can make guys miss and make some things happen.
So three of the four guys in your quarterback competition are guys who haven't had actual practices here that you can be at. So is that going to be a little strange going into fall camp where three of the four guys you really see for the first time? And could that maybe even be an advantage that you have a fresh perspective on all of
them? Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, definitely. All three of those guys we think are very, very talented. I love the mental makeup of them. They all think they should be the starting quarterback, which is what you want to have, is a guy that has confidence, has that leadership ability, but they've got to go out and prove it. You know, the fact that we haven't sat down, be able to evaluate them, that's one of the big unknowns. But Coach Keesaw's got a relationship with Zach. You know, he recruited him to Cal. He's a guy who's played in the Pac-12, so he's got some experience that way. Christian Rossi had a heck of a year last year at Fresno City. He's a guy that is a tremendous athlete, has a swagger about him. And then, you know, Quentin Davis, you know, had a terrific year at Bosco last year, running a very, very similar system to what we do. Really has a terrific understanding of what we're trying to do from a schematic standpoint. And he's got a lot of confidence about himself. So I'm just excited to see those guys go out there and compete, you know, for about 2 weeks, you know, try to split reps fairly evenly. You know, Chasen will get the lion's share of them because of what he's shown so far. But we're going to see if one of those guys can't challenge him. I don't like to predetermine this is going to be our quarterback. I think what you've got to do is go through the process, put them in competitive situations like scrimmages, and have a particular quarterback earn the confidence of his teammates and coaches that he's the guy. And unfortunately, we didn't get there where one guy was clearly the guy. I mean, I'd love for that to happen. I mean, clearly that was the case the first 2 years with Derek. I anticipate that Chasen's going to have, you know, the greatest chance to do that, but he's got to prove it in those first couple weeks. I would like nothing better to say, after our second scrimmage, Chasen's our starting quarterback, and here's number two, and here's number three, and here we go. But it's got to happen organically. It can't be predetermined, because as soon as you do that, then somebody starts rising up, and I shot myself in the foot because we didn't give this guy enough reps, particularly guys that, you know, just got here on campus. You want to see as many reps as you can with those new guys.
And what do you see from Chasen in the spring? How confident are you with his ability to win the job?
Well, I think physically, you know, he's progressed. Coming off the injury, it took him a little bit longer to put some weight on. I think he's gotten much more comfortable in the offense. And unfortunately, we couldn't be out there. I mean, it's the rules, but you talk to our players, he really took charge this summer in the player-run practices. Very different than a year ago where, you know, he's a freshman just showing up kind of waiting for someone else to direct things. He's taking charge. And I think that maturation process is important for him to establish himself as a leader. He knows that there's going to be a challenge. And we want to have competition, so he feels that, so he can keep pushing.
You know, in the past, you've had other players that are more established, like Derek Carr, Robin Ruster. They sit out a lot of those full-contact scrimmages. Considering the depth behind Chasen and the fact that, you know, they haven't been in the program long, do you potentially sit him out on some of those? Or
no, we don't hit our quarterbacks in scrimmages anyway, so he'll play. He needs to get the reps.
How big is this for the next couple of days or a couple of weeks? For Chasen to show you what he had?
Well, it's like any position. You know, you got to go compete and prove to not only your coaches but your teammates that you're the guy. And I think he's poised to do that. We're going to obviously provide him the opportunity to do that, and then he's got to go out and earn it.
Seems like there's a likelihood we could see a true freshman running back or more than one getting some carries this year. What are you looking for early on in camp from those guys?
Well, again, you know, those are the guys in particular that the scrimmages will be key. When you practice and it's thud tempo, you have 29 practice opportunities, so you don't want to, you know, necessarily beat guys up, you know, tackling every single day, and you can't do that. But when we get to those live scrimmage situations, I want to see who can make guys miss, who can pick up a blitzing linebacker, you know, who can catch the ball out of the backfield and make things happen. We really like the summers that all three of those young guys have had, and they're going to get their opportunity. I like the strides our offensive line made in the spring. I think David Patterson really improved. I think it was critical getting Christian Kronk in the fold. I think he's going to develop to be a heck of a player for us. I think our three inside guys, Jake Vasquez, did a good job in the spring and has continued to develop. And then Aaron Mitchell is probably going to be the bell cow of that group. He's played the most, and he's got a lot of athletic ability. And Micah St. Andrew had a nice spring. So I like our five. To me, the key is finding those next two to three guys. Who's our next tackle? Who's our next guard in the game? Who's our next center in the game? That's what's going to be critical for Coach Weber, to find those guys and get those guys to the level where they're just a notch below. There's not a chasm from one to two. And, you know, we're going to have some young guys in those positions. We'll have a lot of redshirt freshmen going to have their first opportunity. But we've got some, I think, really good size and ability, but it's time for them to grow up and show it to us. I think probably the most drastic thing you're going to see offensively changes, because a lot of scheme-wise, we're still based out of a 3-4 defensively and try to pressure and do those things. But offensively, going back to last December when I was interviewing different candidates, Eric Kiesaw and his approach to football, X and O's are X and O's. You know, there's a lot of good guys, scheme guys out there, and certainly we had great interest in all the guys that came down to the final interviews were really terrific guys with X and O's. But to me, one of the things that set Eric apart was how he developed relationships with players, how important that was to him, the steps he took to get everybody involved, from coaches to players. As we put the rest of the staff together, he wanted to bring in some guys that he had some relationships with, and I thought that was a critical component. I think just like when there's disharmony at home, you know, the kids know when mom and dad are fighting, it can be the same way if the staff's not gelling together. And I think immediately when our players came here, they sensed that, hey, this group's got it together. They're guys that care about each other. They care about the players. And when you can start from that sense, it's easy for players to get all in. And I think they've done a terrific job doing that. On the defensive side, I think, you know, Coach Ward has slipped in seamlessly. He puts his special touches on things and has tweaked some things that we did, which is always great to have a little bit of outside information and a different view of, hey, how can we do this better? And again, I think that his relationships with our players have been terrific. He's done a great job of mentoring his student athletes in the past, and he's brought that attitude here. And I think if you talk to our players, they will tell you he's genuinely concerned about them, not just on the field and doing things right, but doing things right everywhere. And being a mentor and father figure for those guys, I think, has really helped his relationships with them. I think the Mountain West this year, probably more so than any of the other campaigns that I've been in, is more balanced. I think San Diego State's got a terrific team coming back. You know, they did a nice job last year. But there's probably seven other teams that I wouldn't be shocked that could win this league if they have a good year. You know, it's the 2016 season. We're undefeated. Like I said before, it feels to me like 4 years ago. We've got a very talented young team that's excited to play in Bulldog Stadium. You know, our team since we've been here is 19-6 in that stadium. You know, we love it when it's filled up. I love our new marketing campaign, Just the Ticket, to build the community. I mean, I think it's perfect. It's who we are. It's what we use in recruiting, is that we've got the college football atmosphere in the Mountain West. You know, there's no community like Fresno in the Valley on game day. And you know, to have our administration back us the way they do, you know, having academics and athletics rise together, you know, this Just the Ticket campaign to build our community, I think it's perfect. And so I'm hoping that our fans are excited. Our first scrimmage will be open to the public. If you're a quarterback club member, all of our first couple weeks of practice are going to be open to the public. We'd love to have people out there and see the new product. I think people are going to be really impressed.
That was Fresno State football coach Tim DeRuiter in his season opening press conference. Thank you for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.